Coming up this week, a fire breaks out at the Mickey and Friends parking structure, Disney Junior is getting a reboot amid controversy, and Disneyland announces an opening date for Guardians of the Galaxy. Plus, later, Michael continues his look at Disneyland in the 1990s, all that next. From points across California, you're listening to the Disneyland edition of the Diz Unplugged. This is the Diz Unplugged Disneyland edition, episode 651, for the week of February 19th, 2017. The Diz Unplugged Disneyland edition is brought to you by Dreams Unlimited Travel, helping you plan the perfect Disneyland vacation. Visit them on the web at www.dreamsunlimitedtravel.com. Hello everyone and welcome to the show. I am your host Tom Bell and I'm joined by my good friends Nancy Johnson.
Hey!
Mary Jo Malata-Willey.
Hello.
And Michael Bowling.
Hey there, hi there, it isn't raining rain, you know it's raining violets.
And there's your weather report from Michael.
Hallelujah, it's raining.
No, that's different entirely. No. I don't think we have the rights to that one. The other one's in public domain. Welcome to the beginning of the seventh year of the Diz Unplugged Disneyland edition.
That was cool to see that. Oh my gosh, 6 years.
Right? All in a row, too.
I know. At least for you guys. We're relatively new.
Oh, yeah, Nancy and Tony and I have been around the whole time, but it wasn't that long into it that you hopped on.
Yeah.
Good.
You guessed it early.
What?
I was going to say, she guessed it early.
Oh, yeah, she did. Well, they both did.
And so did Michael. Yeah. I was going to say, and so did Michael.
Good evening to our friends listening live on Mixlr. If you want to listen live to us every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. Pacific, head over to Mixlr.com, M-I-X-L-R.com. Listen and chat live along with the rest of the crew in there. Always a good time. Speaking of anniversaries, the anniversary of the Diz is coming up in June. Whoa, I almost messed that up. June 1st in Orlando. I'm not sure if I'm going yet, and some of the other team is going, right? You guys are planning on being there? Yeah.
Oh yeah, we have reservations.
It's the week surrounding June 1st, so a few days before and after that.
It starts on Labor Day.
Yeah. Memorial Day.
Memorial Day, yeah.
That's what she meant.
It starts the day after my daughter's 12th birthday.
There you go.
So
check the Diz Unplugged forum on the Diz boards for lots of details on that. I've been talking about my trip to Alaska that's coming up. I'm going on the Disney Wonder for the only nine night they're doing in July. Or the only nine night they're doing, and I'm going in July. I was looking. That thing is almost sold out. So if you wanted to join me, there is a little bit of room, but it's all inside cabin and it's all very, very pricey. But definitely check with your Dreams Unlimited travel agent if you want to join me. It's July 24th on the Disney Wonder. Some of the Orlando team is going on the Royal Caribbean's Explorer of the Seas July 28th. Also to Alaska, so the ships will probably cross in the night and we'll wave at each other across the sea.
What are your stops?
For nine nights. Oh, we go to Juneau, the standard three, Juneau, Ketchikan, and Skagway. We go to Icy Strait Point, which is also a stop. It sounds like it's not, but it is. And there they have the longest zip rider. So it's like a zip line, except you sit in it and it's like,
oh, how fun.
Yeah. And then we also go to, instead of just one day going to a glacier, we have 2 days we're going to a glacier. So we go to Tracy Arm, and then we also go to Hubbard, I think.
Oh, Hubbard Glacier. Okay.
I think is the other one, but there's two days where there's four ports. Two glacier days and two just regular days at sea. But keep in mind, because we're leaving from Vancouver, British Columbia, that the days at sea, most of the time you can still see land, which is really, really cool.
So you're going to the inner circle then, or the
inside passage.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
There you go.
Which you said, yeah, what he said. Don't forget the rest of the Disunplug family of podcasts, the Dreams Unlimited Travel Show, every Monday on YouTube. And on, I think they're on iTunes as well. The Orlando Show, live every Tuesday morning. Universal Show, live every Thursday morning. And Diz Pop on Fridays. And of course, the Daily Fix, every Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific. They're asking me in the chat room, any days in Vancouver before or after. We have not figured that out yet, Rob. We have to fly into Seattle because the price wise it's way easier to fly into Seattle, and also we don't have regular passports. We have passport cards, so we can't fly over the border. We have to travel by car or train over the border. So we're gonna fly into Seattle. Not sure if we'll spend the night or just from there transfer to Amtrak and take the train up to Vancouver. And then either get right on the ship or spend a night in Vancouver and then reverse the process coming back. So we're still figuring all that out. I know it's coming up soon, but we'll get it figured out. Okay, so it was a wet weekend or wet week in Anaheim and all over California. I guess Disneyland closed early again a couple days ago. Michael posted a picture of they floated the boats out into Main Street.
Oh, that was a great picture.
Wasn't that great?
Yes.
So that was crazy. Let's see. Rumors. I didn't read any more to this because I want to wait until Tony gets here. The Anaheim Angels are staying in town until at least 2028. The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim are staying till at least 2028 is what the owners quoted as saying.
I didn't even know they were planning on leaving.
Listen to Tony.
Right, everybody. I'm sure all of them are up for grabs for the right price.
Yeah. Up here, the Raiders, Oakland Raiders, now that looks like the Las Vegas deal might be falling apart, they're talking about going to San Diego.
What? Oh my gosh, my ex will love that.
It's nuts. I mean, I don't know how serious it is, but it's being floated.
And now that the movie is in the discount movie houses now, Moana has left the building. She's no longer greeting guests in Adventureland.
That's disappointing. Yeah. Too bad.
I was going to say, because she was just there.
But it was also a very thrown together location. Kind of in the corner there, but
you know, she's popular. A character though that they could have kept. Like they could have kept Rapunzel around a whole lot longer,
right?
And I don't know why these, some of these face characters are so fleeting, because they continue to be popular,
right?
It looks like they're really gearing up to push Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, they are.
So are they going to have Emma Watson in the park? I mean, we already have Belle and the Beast.
Right.
You know,
I agree with you.
Well, they've got the creepy park. Emma Watson dolls in the park already. Oh, my God.
Let's see what else. Those are awful. So I posted today on Twitter, the D23 Expo is in July, which is normally when Disneyana has their annual convention. And I was talking with somebody a week or so ago about the conflict, and they posted on Twitter today that now the Disneyana convention is moving to October so that it's not there's no conflict anymore. That's brand new today out of the event that they're having in Garden Grove, so I'm sure there will be more information as things come out on that.
And that's actually the organization that actually sponsors that is the NFFC, right?
Sure, I don't know.
I think so. It's the National Fantasy Fan Club, which is the Southern California Disney fandom.
Gotcha, okay. And we are finally getting our parades back. So there, one is on the schedule and one is rumored to be on the schedule. Sounsational is coming back March 24th. That is on the schedule. So that's kind of cool. And then the Pixar Play Parade is rumored to be back mid-May. I saw a date of May 12th. I haven't been able to confirm that yet because it's less than 6 weeks out. but yeah, so.
Yeah, Disney and their schedule.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they've got to wait till after Food and Wine. But that's
a lot
that's,
of people are going to be happy. A lot of people love that parade.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's interesting to see Sensational back, though. But I think it's only one a day, so.
I hope they painted it.
Right? Hope they did some.
The other thing I noticed. I've been listening to some of the music from Hong Kong and Shanghai. Mm-hmm. Boy, that Sensational song has made the rounds. Hmm. It just goes by other names. Like in Hong Kong, I think it's Flight of Fantasy.
Oh, really?
But
okay.
It's the same exact song.
Hmm. Interesting.
A different parade.
Right.
But a different song. But, well, but same tune.
Yeah. I mean, and they reuse the Believe in Holiday Magic song.
Mm-hmm.
Is from the old Disney World fireworks, and then at one point they were using it on the ships. Do you remember that one? And so that they recycle that all over the place.
Remember.
That one, yes. I'm gonna start crying. all right. Any other housekeeping?
I have one.
Go ahead, Michael.
I'd mentioned last week that Newsies, the Broadway musical, was in theaters. Carol and I saw it yesterday on Saturday.
Awesome.
It is absolutely fantastic.
Okay, cool.
It is really well filmed.
Now, is it filmed just as a theater production?
It's filmed as a theater production, but they have filmed it from different angles.
Okay.
And also sometimes from the point of view of the performers. So it's much more dimensional.
Okay, cool.
Than if the cameras were just, sitting out in the audience. Mm-hmm. So a lot of close-ups, and as I said, different angles from the top and the sides and the bottom and all that.
But you can still tell it's on a stage though.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. So you do feel it, you're watching the Broadway show. Okay. So it's excellent. As I mentioned last week, they do bring back the original, the main characters of the original Broadway cast. They also have the North American, tour actors. They have also a few other performers from the ensemble. You still have one more day to see it. It is still in theaters, February 22nd. Mm-hmm. It is well worth it. Especially even if you've never seen it on Broadway, or if you've seen, the Christian Bale vehicle, the film that started it all.
I love that film.
It is. It's a really good film, and many thanks to the Disney Channel for really making it a classic, because it bombed in the theaters. Yeah.
I saw that in the theater at the Disney Studios lot.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but anyway, so I would say if you can see this, I think it's wonderful that they did this, because this is playing in areas where people did not have an opportunity to see this on stage, right. Or perhaps it just wasn't financially feasible for them to see it, because we all know the price of, Broadway, tickets, and they were even expensive in the touring show, because it was here in April. In our town. And definitely if you can go out and see it February 22nd, we will have a link in our show notes where you can buy them online and see where it is playing. Just put in your zip code. I'm sure when
Fandango.com.
The link I have is Fathom Events.
Okay.
but that I gave to you.
Yeah.
And I'm sure when Craig and I, after we're done on Connecting with Walt with the animated films, when we get into live action, I'll talk about Newsies, the film, and really compare, what was the real Newsboys strike of 1899 compared to the film? A lot of differences. So, they weren't all these plucky 17-year-olds, you know, dancing their way through the streets of New York. But, it's an interest. The real story is very interesting. So I'm sure I'll get into that, someday. So stay tuned to Connecting with Walt. But definitely see this, February 22nd at a cinema near you.
Nice.
Speaking of Connecting with Walt, I listened to your Adventureland, Magic Kingdom Adventureland with Craig, and I really enjoyed what you two were saying. I got the feeling that Pirates of the Caribbean's kind of a disappointment. Only because we have a different version at Disneyland that we're all, you know, so close to, you know, it's close to our hearts and everything. But we enjoy the attractions at the Magic Kingdom, as different as they are. The Jungle Cruise, it was kind of cool because I felt kind of, we saw the Jungle Cruise when we were there, and I enjoyed the delivery of the show, I'll put it that way. And it's so different, that we feel kind of, everything's in the wrong place. So,
well, that's the story of the Magic Kingdom. Yeah.
Well, that's how I felt. And so it was like almost riding a different attraction.
Right.
It was a different experience. So I just wanted to say that, you know, as a person, and of course my, Disneyland's close to my heart as it is everybody else's here. I just want to say that the Magic Kingdom has its, I don't want people to think that we don't think it has charm also, because it does.
And I agree. And I try to get that across, I think, in the show. I personally really like their Jungle Cruise.
And I
talked about that. I like the Indian
temple. And...
Yes, I talked about that. I cannot agree with you on Pirates of the Caribbean. I at all. But the thing is,
if somebody coming in who has never been to Disneyland before would enjoy the Pirates,
that's
as a standalone attraction. Right.
Yes, and then they'll come here and enjoy ours even more.
Well, that's true also. But people don't have the original Walt's Pirates to compare to, which is going to have its anniversary pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna really enjoy that attraction. It's just that this one is just the whole, you know, the whole show and then some. But I think for people who've never been to Disneyland, it's a respectable Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay.
I just wanted to say I was because when we went to Magic Kingdom this past December, we really enjoyed ourselves over there, and sometimes I think people get the feeling that we don't appreciate
them.
It.
Yeah, right.
And I don't want to. Mm-mm. It's okay. Probably we're just a little bit more passionate about Disneyland, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So is it that you? So I'm not too sure what you're getting at. So you, on Connecting with Walt, you do not want comparisons between the attractions.
Oh yeah, I do. I'm just giving my own opinion on it. I like the comparisons.
Oh, okay.
I love the interaction.
She missed you not being there to talk back to. So she had to talk back
right.
to her podcast.
Yeah.
And so she felt the urge to. Am I summating this right?
She was talking back to you while she was listening. Now she's reiterating.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are many things that I do like about the Magic Kingdom, and I try to get that across in the show. So, but
people moving, carousel of progress.
Craig and I do have point and counterpoints, though. But
I really enjoy. I love listening to the two of you and with your both of your experiences on the show. They're just so much. But I just really enjoyed listening to it today.
Do you have a theme picked out for April?
I don't think we have a theme so much. I do know what we're talking about.
We'll wait to be surprised.
Yes.
Any other housekeeping?
Hey, speaking of our other affiliate shows and associated videos, how come we didn't get invited to the Great Universal Disney Nacho Challenge?
I don't know.
Have you seen that on our site?
I don't know.
That's how I Carol
on
was.
The very first page of www.info.com.
I saw that.
It's a new
Carol
site
asked...
edition.
Carol asked me about $100 nachos.
That's
said, what are you talking about?
That's in Florida, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I don't. Okay. Anyway.
All right. Yeah, apparently, apparently it's quite the thing on our website right now. And we didn't get invited to try our nachos here, so our lobster nachos could go in that pile.
Okay. I don't think that
Do we
was.
We have any other nachos?
I think
there
was.
Lobster
I think
nachos?
That was. The Whitewater Snacks? Excuse me?
Oh, duh.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Wow.
Well, hey, maybe we can do our
sorry,
own.
Sorry, Nancy, we're going through a tunnel click. All right. We have a ton of news.
I think we should, Michael. I think we should have a nachos taste off.
Yeah.
All right, we have a ton of news. Let's get on to that. News
okay.
story, numero
Oh, you didn't
uno.
Do our other shows.
Oh, I did.
You didn't talk about our other partner shows.
Actually, mm-hmm. I think I did. Yeah. You were just not listening. All right, Monday afternoon at 4:37 p.m., there was a fire at the Mickey and Friends parking structure on the second floor. Scary-looking smoke. After evacuating the structure, the authorities managed to extinguish the fire in just under an hour. Police say that 7 people were treated for smoke inhalation. 4 of them had to be taken to the hospital. There were 8 vehicles damaged. Some of those completely destroyed. At the time, earlier in the week, the police estimated the damage of the blaze at $180,000. That's probably just for the vehicles. Structure, of course, opened a short time later, and it was, I'm sure, chaos because people were walking over there trying to get to their cars, and, you know, the trams had stopped running, so people were walking. It was just, everybody was just gathered in the Chippendale parking lot. As of even now, the cause is still under investigation, but I was just scary. We were at a Cub Scout parent meeting Monday night at our local pizza parlor, and Christy was there just to eat the pizza, and raises up her phone and shows me the post that somebody reported that. I'm like, oh my God, what's going on? So, yeah, crazy stuff. Does anybody know more than that?
No, I've been trying to figure out what caused it, but I've not heard anything.
Yeah, that poor parking structure. It's cursed, I think.
That was Michael Eisner's baby.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, he said it was the greatest parking structure ever made or something crazy.
It's the largest on, it's the largest
or at least at one
in
point
North
it was.
America.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's the largest structure in North America.
Okay.
It's not the largest lot. The largest lot belongs to the Mall of America.
Okay.
Oh, I believe that. But, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. The Disneyland Resort files a ton of permits with the city of Anaheim every time they put up a sign, they have to file a permit. Like, most of them are pretty standard like that. But there were a couple posted this week that were kind of interesting. One is that they're putting an elevator in City Hall, which is kind of interesting. Some people were speculating that would lead to them adding Walt's apartment back to the Walk and Walt's Footsteps tour. I tend to disagree because I think at some point they were probably just looking for an excuse not to have it on the tour. I think it was probably a marketing thing to begin with. And then when they saw that they were having 50 or 60 people traipsing through the apartment a day, they rethunk it. That's just my opinion.
Could be.
I'm wondering though, if it's an ADA issue because there are offices.
No. And yeah. Oh yeah.
There is.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, for the city hall, of course. Yeah. It's an ADA issue, but. And it was, and they used.
Well, those back stairs were kind
of. Well, then they used the ADA issue to get out of bringing people to Walt's apartment, but I think there may have been more to that than.
Yeah, except Adventures by Disney, that's still on their itinerary, right?
So I don't know that it is.
I thought it was.
Okay.
We can ask. I think Kyle went on the last Adventures by Disney, the recent one.
They got the. Yeah, and I think they got the Dream Suite.
Hmm. Because I know when we did Backstage Magic Adventures by Disney, they had to bring in this portable lift so that Carol could go up there. It was a bit scary. Yeah. And also so that Pete's mom could also, you know, go up there as well.
Holy cow, Michael, they put her in a portable lift to go up there?
Yeah.
Cherry picker. Wow.
Yeah, basically that's what it was. It was a little fancier than that. But it operated more like an elevator, but it was still a little scary.
The other permit is for a 56 square foot. Help me with the pronunciation, Nancy. Cupola.
Cupola.
Cupola, to be installed on the roof of Pirates of the Caribbean building. There's already one up there, so it's likely this is going to be replaced. The permit, however, states that it is related to the Fantasmic show, which of course
new projectors,
right? Mm-hmm. So now, of course, rumors are flying. Okay, so are we getting the rumored upgrades to Fantasmic, or is that just something new to hide some of the existing lights?
I wondered if it was for the, you know, how supposedly Peter Pan is getting replaced.
Right, right.
With Pirates of the Caribbean, and they're going to have that projection of, spoiler alert, Keith, there in the Chatterati, that, you know, they're going to move from being humans to skeletons and back to humans again with the projection.
Mickey doesn't
like
dream of pirates.
Like Frozen and all that. But it's his nightmare.
Right, and,
It's just nightmare fantastic.
He dreams in animation. He doesn't dream in... Anyway.
Not anymore, he does.
Apparently. Of course, Pirates is closed now through March 16th, so they'll probably get that done before then. It opens back up just in time for its 50th, as we alluded to earlier. Fantasmic is set to return this summer, but no exact date has been announced.
Now, speculation, though, is it's for July 17th.
Okay. And then the railroad's even later, right? The railroad has been delayed a little bit. Or maybe Fantasmic and the railroad will be then, and we'll get the canoes early. All right. So this one's kind of interesting. While in the midst of cell renegotiations with the Walt Disney Company, 28 puppeteers from Walt Disney California Adventure's version of Disney Junior Live on Stage have learned that the current show would be closing in April and would later reopen without puppets. Puppeteers had joined a union, the American Guild of Variety Artists, back in 2015, looking for better pay. And other things like a fitness program, because the show is physically demanding. It's like a 20-plus minute show, and they're doing it 4 or 5 times a day. Shortly after they joined the union, the guild filed complaints on behalf of the puppeteers with the National Labor Relations Board, stating that Disney had cut their hours and also told the puppeteers that they couldn't work in other roles. They couldn't, because some of them were not only doing puppeteers, but they're also being friends of characters in the parks. So Disney said, oh no, you're joining union, you can't do that anymore. The 2015, that complaint was eventually settled, but right now the guild is in the middle of negotiating a new contract with the puppeteers. Talks are supposed to be scheduled for mid-March. Several of the puppeteers, why am I getting an echo, feel the timing of the closure is retaliation. According to puppeteer Ryan Strom, it's too coincidental for it not to be. According to our friend Susie Brown at the Walt Disney Company, the show will return with new technology replacing the puppets. The puppeteers will be eligible to transfer to other roles in the resort. Let's see. We constantly evaluate our entertainment offerings and make changes to provide compelling reasons for our guests to visit time and time again. So apparently this new technology is going to be able to allow them to change the show, kind of like they change World of Color, or like they could change Twister Midway Mania or something like that. Of course, no word on changes in Walt Disney World or Disneyland Paris. There's a puppeteer who's been with the show for 14 years. Art Vega, he says, it's really disappointing and heartbreaking that a company would take people who have worked extremely hard over the years and treat us this way. Last performance with puppets is scheduled for April 9th, 2017. And as I said on the Facebook, bring back Bear and all will be right with the world.
Yeah, pretty much. It started going downhill when Bear was sent up packing.
Uh-huh.
Bear in the Big Blue House was the soul that tied it together.
He went hibernating.
I just remember how much when our granddaughter was little, how much she loved that show. Uh-huh. I mean, she just thought it was so magical. She loved the puppets.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd hate to see if it's just another projection movie kind of thing. That's just not, I don't know. It's not as magical.
Yeah.
You know, the puppets are so cool.
It doesn't have a life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Jamie.
The puppets bring the characters out to reality for the kids.
What's the new one, Casey?
No.
It was Jamie, I think.
Oh, yeah, I went from Jamie to Casey, yeah. Or Casey to Jamie.
No, I think it was Jamie
before. Casey was the first one.
I don't think so. I think it's the other way around.
Okay.
It was Jamie when we used to go.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you go for when Bear was there or not?
I think Bear was gone. I think Jake had been introduced.
Oh, really? Okay.
Okay, then it was Casey was the first one.
All right, fine.
Here you go.
We'll agree to disagree. All right, the final news story.
Get out my old videotapes.
Right? The Disneyland Resort has announced that Guardians of the Galaxy Guardians of the Galaxy Mission Breakout ! Will open at Disney California Adventure on May 27th, 2017 as part of their Summer of Heroes promotion. Of course, we all know that the update to Tower of Terror features an all-new storyline, random soundtrack, and a random ride profile. In addition to the new attraction, guests will be able to quote-unquote enjoy the Guardians of the Galaxy Awesome Dance-Off, eh? All right, I don't know where that's
going to be.
Yes, Dance-Off. I'm assuming that's a replacement for a replacement-ish for Mad Tea Party. And Captain America and Spider-Man are getting company because you'll be able to meet and or greet with Groot.
Yes!
Okay. Also,
I love Groot! How can you not love Groot?
And those will be ongoing, not just for Summer of Heroes. So the dance party is indefinite and Groot is indefinite. But during the summer, there's some special things. Guests will be able to check out the Avengers Training Initiative, where young recruits will learn from Black Widow and Hawkeye what it takes to be an Avenger. Now, my guess is they conveniently have an empty building for a little while they build a new show.
That could be.
So I'm guessing this may go in the Disney Junior spot for temporarily.
Oh.
Because it's just a big open building. It'd be easy to throw up some flats and have Widow, Black Widow and Hawkeye in there. The only other place there could be would be on the stage in Hollywood Land, right? Or stage 17.
What about Olaf's Wintry?
Yes, yeah, stage 17. Well, it's so Arendelle-y in there, though.
Arendelle could go.
They put a lot of money into Arendelle.
But they didn't use it last year.
No. Mm-mm. But it still looks like Arendelle because I saw pictures today from this weekend's Celebrate Gospel event, and you could still see the roof lines from Arendelle. So it'll be interesting to see where they put that. Black Widow will also be arriving several times throughout the day on an armored Avengers vehicle for a heroic encounter. Not sure what any of those words mean, but she's going to drive around and wave.
She's going to drive to a meet and greet.
Yeah, she's going to it's a little mini meet and greet or something.
Oh, I thought she was going to encounter like Captain America.
Wow.
Oh, heroic encounter.
Some of Heroes, of course, would not be complete without some specially themed merchandise and food options throughout Hollywoodland. So we have our DCA information for summer. Again, we're still waiting for Rivers of America, Fantasmic, and all of that stuff. I'm kind of excited about Guardians of the Galaxy. I started to watch the movie the other day, but then I had to leave, so I'll watch the movie.
Love the movie.
Have you seen the... Yeah, first of all, I think that building's hideous. And have you seen the sight lines? Oh, my gosh.
What are you talking about?
What it looks like from different parts of the park, including Disneyland.
Oh, yeah.
That lovely garish, subdued red and orange.
I'm hoping they'll fix it with lighting.
I hope so. They've got to do something. I mean, there's a building that needs to fade quickly.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Well, maybe they just haven't faded it yet.
They need to add some sponge paint.
I don't know. It just looks dreadful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Put the tarp back up, please. All right, that is the news. Time for rapid fire. Let's start with Mary Jo because she has some fun stuff.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. In Orange County, for the first time, Pardo's is opening up. And for those of you who don't know what Pardo's is, it's a Cuban bakery that's been around since 1976. I believe the first one was in Glendale, and they also have stores in Downey and one pretty close to where Nancy lives in Burbank.
It's so, like 4 or 5 blocks away.
Yeah. It's so good. I think I've actually been to all three of them because the one in Downey is the closest to me and I went with somebody. And then I was showing some friends around, LA, and Beth, who's been on the show before for the Divas, she said, you know, we're kind of close to the Glendale Pardo's. Let's go there. And oh my gosh, that was almost the highlight for everybody. The food is so good. So
the Burbank one rated number one on Yelp this year.
For the United States, I believe, right?
For the United States, yes.
Yeah.
It was the number one restaurant. And you should see the lines. They go out the door and down the road. We don't even go anymore.
Yeah, they say that the lines are extremely long, but they go quickly. They start very early in the morning. They say they can serve 100 people in 11 minutes.
Wow.
Yes, they can. They have when you go in line, basically you're taken by your personal attendant and then they follow each customer set through the process of everything, and then they take you to the register, ring you out, and go. So it really doesn't take very long, but
it's just that it's kind of daunting when you see that line going out the door in the last year. Yeah,
they've just increased so much in the last year.
Well, they're they started off as a bakery and they just expanded. Like I said, they've been around since 1976. And they've just expanded, so now they have a cafe and a bakery.
Chat room wants to know what the pricing is like.
Oh my gosh, it's like $5.95. It's like $5.95, $6.95 for a medianoche sandwich.
Compared to Panera,
which is like your standard Cubano sandwich, the same or cheaper.
Okay.
Cheese roll Danish are like 75 cents each.
That's cheaper.
But potato balls are like 75.
That's what I was going to say. They're well known for their potato balls. And you're going to, when you go, get ready to get like a, think of like a donut box, but you're going to put your potato balls, your croquettes, oh my gosh, they've got this sausage croquette that's out of this world. And they have this one that I crave it. I want to go back to Pardo's, and it doesn't sound like it sounds kind of weird. But it's absolutely delicious, and it's bean and plantain.
Oh yeah, no, that's good. And their plantain and their sandwiches that's come so with house made plantain chips.
They're delicious.
And
for those of you who have never had plantain, it's a starchier version of the banana, but they fry up like potatoes. Mm. So they're very thin and very crispy, just like potato chips, only healthy.
And a little bit sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a type of banana. So yeah. It's going to be between the Pirates Dinner Show and
yeah, it's right
Medieval
between
Times. Yeah, it's going to be right there.
They fresh squeeze their orange juice. And their coffee is incredible. And even their, like, mame, they do mame shakes. And
what's a mame shake, Nancy?
A mame is a type of fruit that's available in Cuba. It's kind of slightly purplish, and it's creamy.
Okay.
It's a really interesting, you can get some really interesting things, but you can trust that they will be good because they came from Porto's. And their pastry selection is amazing.
Yeah, it deserves all the kudos that it gets, and it's going to be opening March 1st, so in just a couple of weeks.
Very cool. All right, speaking of Buena Park, a couple Knott's bits. Knott's Season Pass is still available and still a great deal. Now through April 23rd, you can get it for $91. That's less than the price of a one-day Buena Park ticket at Disneyland. Or 6 easy payments of only $15.16. Get the over to Knott's Berry Farm or to the Knott's website, www.knotts.com. I think we've mentioned this before. I'm going to mention this again. In partnership with Heritage Auctions, more than 200 one-of-a-kind lots from America's first theme park will be available at a special auction to be held in the Charles M. Schulz Theater at Knott's Berry Farm in late March. They're still trying to finalize a date on this, so keep an eye out.
Tom, what's the auction for?
Knott's Berry Farm artifacts.
That is not America's first theme park. If you listen to Connecting with Walt, we gave the definitive answer to that.
Can be historic artifacts from Ghost Town, Camp Snoopy, from Mrs. Knott's Chicken Dinner Restaurant, some of the theme park rides, Knott's Scary Farm, and the Walter Knott Archives. Collection includes historic signs, antiques, theme park vehicles, player pianos, vintage coin-operated machines, photographs, and much, much more. Again, watch the Knott's Berry Farm website or go to www.ha for Heritage Auctions, ha.com for more information. And that should be interesting. I need to get my Knott's Season Pass. And go.
Not mine.
It's almost time for the Boysenberry
Festival. Boysenberry, yes.
That's April 1st, I believe, right? Yes, it is.
I'll take your word for it.
Okay, cool. So it's April 1st. All right.
It's so good.
Nancy, go ahead.
Okay, speaking of new things opening up, some of them have already started opening up in Fantasyland at Disneyland. They have opened up the new, what's the name
Royal,
of that
Royal, Royal Reception.
The Royal Reception. And that is, as we kind of mentioned,
we're talking Beauty and the Beast.
Week,
sorry. You kind of buried the lead.
I was getting there.
Okay.
I was getting there. As we talked about last week, Mary Jo and I mentioned that the Beauty and the Beast shop, that the Royal Reception is now a Beauty and the Beast shop, and it's all celebrating merchandise from the new musical movie, and including the creepy Emma Watson dolls version of Belle. They have a nice selection of t-shirts, they have mugs, they have the creepy Mrs. Potts, but it's a very attractive shaped tea set. but it has that creepy face for Mrs. Potts,
yeah,
which I'm never going to get over.
No,
and it's got
you.
Some artwork and stuff like that.
All right, let's talk about the new stuff.
Anyway, new stuff coming with it. We're getting there. Come on, you can't rush me.
I know that. It's 6 years, Nancy. I know that. I've been trying 6 years to rush you, and it's never worked.
And she started this one 6 years ago.
Yes.
I know, right? Well,
she's done with her 2011 rapid fire. Continue, sorry.
Finished?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Right next to this lovely shop is Pinocchio's Village House, as we all know. Well, not anymore, yay! At least for a while. Hmm. It's going to now be called the Red Rose Tavern. And they're actually putting up new murals featuring scenes from the animated classic and a new menu. Woohoo! We've talked about retheming. Well, they're going to have French tavern-inspired favorites, signature beverages. So we might, that I guess means we might be getting some of the Be Our Guest from Florida menu. And Disneyland's own version of the gray stuff. Woo! So it may not be on cupcakes like it is over at Be Our Guest. Anyway.
We used to serve it on plates at one time at Be Our Guest. I don't know if they still do.
I've only had it on a cupcake there, like on top of a chocolate cupcake. So I don't know, but, you know, they make some really good food at Be Our Guest, so I'm really curious to see how much of that menu, or if we're going to get all new stuff,
right,
which would be even cooler, too. So you never know. So we're waiting, anxiously awaiting that menu, which has not been announced yet. Also, Belle, you know, will be able to, you'll still see her at Fantasy Fair as an occasional guest, but we are getting... visits from the muscle-headed Gaston. He's going to be going through Fantasyland, I guess, as a walkabout, kind of like Peter Pan does.
He needs to hit the gym, from what I've seen lately.
Uh-oh.
He's eating too much gray stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's delicious. Don't believe me.
He's built like Peter Pan and letting the costume do all the work is the problem.
So unlike the Magic Kingdom, Gaston,
yeah, exactly,
in the videos. Yeah. So no push-up.
No
challenges for this.
No one-armed push-ups, huh? Okay. So, well, you know, the gray stuff is making its way around too, because it's going to be showing up also at Maurice's Treats, where guests soon will be able to dip their favorite twists in it. Yum. Can you imagine strawberry twists dipped in the gray stuff and chocolate twists dipped in the gray stuff? Yummo! And, of course, the Royal Theater will be dun, 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 presenting its own take on the Beauty and the Beast story.
Which they've continued, done.
Already done. So, that should be pretty exciting. And like I said, we haven't gotten any dates quite yet, but, you know, obviously they're working on it. They've already got the... you know, the shop opens, they're making the money.
They've got to get it out before March 17th, probably.
Yes. So I'm sure we'll keep you up to date on that.
What's interesting is they're theming it to the animated version of the movie, not the live action version of the movie.
Did I not say Mrs. Potts is really creepy?
And there you have your reason why.
And they really did not do a really good job putting Emma on those dolls, really.
They did.
They screened her face on, and it's just not good.
All right, Michael.
If I were his agent, I'd be having chats.
Sorry, Michael.
Well, as long as she gets a cut, I'm sure she's fine.
Right, exactly. All right, Michael, what you got for us?
Right. Well, I know that, you know, we're all excited about the Academy Awards. I know I have my glitter dress already, you know, cut up to the thigh.
You paint yourself gold like...
Oh, what's his name?
I was going to say, how far down does the cleavage go? Are you using tape?
So yes, double-sided, lots of it, like Lady Goss squared. But when the Academy Awards were announced in January, I know we were all stunned when Finding Dory was snubbed from the animated feature category because, you know, Pixar Animation Studios has dominated that category since it was introduced in 2002. However, Pixar was nominated in the animated shorts category with the cute little Piper, which, as you know, follows the little Sam Piper.
It's so
That was cute.
Wow.
Yes, the little sandpiper's, you know, tentative attempts to gather its own food without its mother's help. Well, if you are in Northern California, you can see Piper and all of the nominated, Oscar-nominated shorts at Sacramento's Crest Theater. It will show Piper and the four other films nominated in that category. And also, they are going to screen the five Oscar-nominated live-action shorts and also the five documentary short films. So the tickets for all the various screenings are $14 to $20. Just so that you know, on February 20th, at 4 o'clock, they're going to have all of the Oscar nominated short animated films. At 7 p.m. the same day, they're going to have all the live action Oscar nominated short films. On the 22nd, they will have, for the full day, they're going to have, oh, I'm sorry, on the 22nd at 7 p.m., they're going to have the first half of the Oscar nominated short films in the documentary category. And on the 23rd, they're going to have the second half of those. And then again on February 24th, they're going to show all of the Oscar nominated animated short films. And so anyway, so this is a really nice way, because a lot of times we don't get to see all of these films until they show little bits and pieces of them, you know, during the Academy Award nominations. So tickets are $14 to $20 at the Crest Theater. That's at 1013 K Street in Sacramento. We will have a link in our show notes to the Crest Theater site where you can purchase the tickets. You can also purchase prepaid parking. And this, and for folks who are traveling, I'd really just to sort of talk about this area, the Crest. The Crest, first of all, is one of the grand old movie theaters in Sacramento that has been completely refurbished. So it's a beautiful, you know, cinema house. The neighborhood has undergone a huge renaissance thanks to the Golden One Arena, home of the Sacramento Kings, our NBA team. And so there's an incredible array now of new restaurants and lounges and breweries there. So you can really make a day or an evening of it if you go see these films. So definitely take advantage of this and see these films at the Crest Theater in Sacramento from February 20th all the way through the 24th.
Very cool. Thank you, Michael. Anything else, folks? Not a bad show. Good. Okay. Good job. Let's do it again next week.
Okay, cool.
All right. For those of you listening live, be sure to stick around for Michael's look at the late 1990s. That is going to do it for this segment of the Diz Unplugged. Be sure to catch all of our other Diz Unplugged podcasts this week. And of course, we will be back again with you next week. Until then, remember, Disneyland is always more magical when it's shared. Thanks for listening.